Good morning, St. Paul. Welcome to our online worship service. We're so excited that you're with us this morning. As you know, this is the part of the service where we just fill you in on some upcoming events and all of our announcements. The first one, which I'm so excited about, is all of our youth and children's Sunday school classes are coming back today. I'm really, really excited about this, just to be able to get all the kids and all the youth back in the church on Sunday mornings, opening up the Bible together and just being in fellowship. So we're really, really excited that this is back and rolling. If you have any questions about where is my kid's Sunday school class or who is their teacher or any of those details or any of those questions, be sure you reach out to Sally Key Bowden. And if you have any questions about the youth, be sure you reach out to me and to Logan Ogletree. Our second announcement is it is going to be our second Wednesday night picnic on the quad for the month of November. We don't know at the moment what we're going to be having for dinner. We will be sure to update you on our social media platforms, our website, and even in our Connect emails. But as always, bring your blankets, bring your tailgating chairs, and bring your $5. Just bring your whole family. And we look forward to seeing you at 6 o'clock on the quad in front of the youth building. Our Women's Rural Ministry is meeting for the month of November, and their theme for this month is Anxious for Advent, and they're going to be doing ornament creating. It'll be led by Grace Bailey. There's going to be light refreshments. It'll be in the Fellowship Hall at 6:30 on November 12th. It's a Thursday. And the cost is $15. So ladies, if you're interested in this, be sure you reach out to Miss Grace Bailey to RSVP. Also, Winton Neighborhood Network is in desperate need of canned foods, vegetables, canned meats. So if you just happen to be out doing your grocery shopping, be sure you grab an extra few cans that you can donate to them. And even if you're not going out anytime soon to get some groceries, maybe you're just looking in the pantry for what you're going to be cooking your family this week. Take a moment and stop and just look around and say, what do I have in my pantry that maybe I can donate? You are more than welcome to bring those donations to our church during all of our office hours, or if you want to take it directly to the network, be sure you reach out to Mary Lou Jarrell. Lastly, we just wanted to remind you that our office hours have a little bit of a change. Monday through Thursday, you still have all of our attention from 9 to 5, but on Fridays, we're cutting it just a little bit short. Our office hours are going to be 9 to 1, so we'll be closing the church a little bit sooner on Friday. Just wanted to be sure you knew. That's all of our announcements for this morning. Now, please join me in the reciting of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Standing here in your presence, in a grace so relentless, I am won by perfect love, wrapped within the arms of heaven, in a peace that lasts forever, sinking deep in mercy, you see, I'm wide awake, drawing closer by grace, and all my life is yours, all fear removed, I breathe you in, I lean into your love, oh, your love. When I'm lost, you pursue me, lift my head to see your glory, Lord of all, so beautiful. Here in you I find shelter, captivated by the splendor of your face, my secret place. I'm wide awake, drawing closer by grace, and all my life is yours. Breathe you in, lean into your love, oh, your love. Your grace so deep is washing over me, your face is all I seek, you are my everything. Jesus Christ, you are my one desire. Lord, hear my only cry to know you all my life. Peace so deep is washing over me. Your face is all I seek. You are my everything. Jesus Christ, you are my one desire, Lord, hear my only cry, to know you all my life. I'm wide awake, drawing closer by grace, and all my life is yours. All fear removed, I breathe you in.
Good morning, St. Paul. Our scripture reading for the day comes out of the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went onto the roof to talk to them. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in this land is living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families.
Do you like fruit? On the count of three, I want you to say what your favorite fruit is, okay? One, two, three. Did anybody say apple? Because my favorite fruit is an apple. And where do apples come from? Well, they come from apple trees. Jesus had a lot to say about fruit, actually. He said that his followers would bear fruit. Now, obviously, we won't be trees and we won't produce apples, but he's talking about a different kind of fruit. Jesus says that a tree is identified by its fruit. A good person will produce good fruit from a good heart. So that means our actions and our words and the way that we love other people will be uplifting. And a bad person will produce bad fruit from an evil heart. Other people know that we love Jesus and that we're Christians by the fruit that we produce through our words, through being kind and being loving. Now, what kind of fruit tree do you want to be?
Thank you.
Let me add my welcome to you for joining us today. We're so glad that you are with us today through our online worshiping community. Before we begin, let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that over the next few moments that what has led up to this and what will proceed will be, O God, from you. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be embraced and enveloped by that gospel message through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, personally, that what is from you that may stick to our hearts, but what is not from you, allow it, O God, to fall to the ground and shatter. You are our rock and our redeemer. In you, Heavenly Father, we trust. Amen. You may have to think back quite a ways in your life, perhaps to when you were a child, but I'm sure that you can remember the excitement of a day for which you had anticipated and waited for a very long time, and when it finally arrived. This excitement, this anticipation, is where we find the people in our text today. They were on the east side of the Jordan River. They were just days away from setting foot into that promised land that God had promised for them. I mean, think about the people who were gathered there east of Canaan on the shores of the Jordan River. They had been a part of a group of people that had wandered through the desert for 40 years. It was a new generation that had replaced the generation that had disbelieved that God could be with them earlier, just 38 years earlier. And then think about Joshua and Caleb, who even went back further than that. They were in Egypt, they were slaves, and now they were 80 years old, and they were about to see the promise realized. And this doesn't even give us the proper scope of all the anticipation. I mean, if you go back into the scriptures, all the way back to Genesis, the day that was just upon the Israelites east of the Jordan River, who were about to go in and take the promised land, that was a promise that God had made to Abraham some 500 years earlier. A promise that had been repeated over and over again to generation for centuries. The crossing of the Jordan River from the vantage point of waiting was the culmination of a half a millennium of fervent anticipation. And the day had finally arrived. The moment had come. For the most part, the book of Joshua is all about the realization of that promise. And it would be easy for us, from a 30,000-foot perspective, to gauge the entire book of Joshua upon that promise becoming a reality. Isn't this really what the book is all about? The conquest of the promised land? From Jericho to the dividing of the land between the 12 tribes as an inheritance. This is a story of God making good on his promise to Abraham through Joshua, but there are other stories within the book, like the walls of Jericho coming down and the story of Achan at Ai and others. Stories that professional writers would call embedded narratives within the overarching narrative. You could say it like this, that Joshua is full of stories within stories. And it's hard to identify with many of these embedded narratives, these stories within stories. But there is one story that we can all identify with. Because it is a story of God's grace and His mercy. It is a story of salvation. And if we look closely enough, and if we listen with the ears of our heart, it is a story for us. This is the story within the story. It is the story of Rahab. Now look, Joshua is a book about harsh conquest. Its language is particularly destructive in nature. All through the book, God commands the Israelites to utterly destroy the cities and the people and the goods. Yet, before the very first battle, we have this story of mercy and grace and salvation for a prostitute in Jericho. Don't miss her story. And if we miss it, if we ignore it, if we don't hear her story with the ears of our hearts, then we miss the foundation upon which this book is written, upon God's grace rather than his wrath. You see, Rahab's story is intertwined within the story of Joshua sending two spies into Jericho to do some reconnaissance. The spies were to go into Jericho and report back in preparation for their attack that was to take place in a few days. But think with me for just a moment. Was reconnaissance really needed in order to defeat Jericho? I mean, really think about this. What information would the spies be able to offer back that would be able to help them defeat such a heavily fortified city? Certainly, they didn't know then what we know now, but if you stop and think about it, was any of the spies' information needed for them to defeat Jericho? How did the Israelites actually defeat Jericho? They were commanded by God to march around the city one time each day for 6 consecutive days. And then on the 7th day, they were commanded to march around the city on that 7th day 7 times. And on the 7th time, on that 7th day, they were to shout and they were to blow their horns. And unbeknownst to them, the walls came crumbling down. And if this is true, what information could have the spies brought back to Joshua to help them defeat Jericho? I mean, if you think about it, it almost seems to me that there is another story that is going on. A story within a story. Yes, the spies still did their work and they came back with this information, but unknown to them, God had another agenda for the spies. They were sent to Jericho not for reconnaissance. They were sent to Jericho to save Rahab. They didn't know this, of course, any more than we know the outcome when we are sent on some errand for God. Behind the scenes, God had been working in Rahab's heart. And now, he was sending his messengers to confirm her faith and to physically save her. Humanly speaking, Rahab had nothing going for her. I mean, she was a Gentile. She was an Amorite. She was a prostitute. But she had one thing that was going for her. She had heard about the God of Israel. She heard about two things, only these two things. The Exodus that happened 40 years earlier. And then she heard about the defeat of those two kings east of the Jordan River that just happened recently. And this is all Rahab knew. This is all she had heard. Listen to the way that she confessed this in her faith. This is Rahab speaking in Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. And as soon as we heard it, Rahab said, our hearts had melted, and there was no spirit left in any of us because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and the earth below. All she knew were those two things. But those two things, because Rahab had listened with the ears of her heart, those two things became a foundation upon which her faith was built upon. It was enough to bring her to a place of believing that the God of Israel was actually God. She listened with the ears of her heart, and she believed what she heard. Look, if you think about it, there was so much Rahab didn't know, let alone the history of Israel. But she didn't know anything about faith. She didn't know about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. She didn't know about the covenant, the ways of worship, the laws. She didn't know anything about the year of Jubilee or what the Day of Atonement was, or even the purpose of the scapegoat. She was clueless about all the promises of God, but she had ears and she heard what God did. And she believed as a result. You see, Rahab did more than just hide the spies. Certainly when Rahab hid the spies, she was really putting her life on the line, yes. And she was disowning her past and her people. But even though Rahab didn't know everything, her new faith in God brought her into the covenant that she knew nothing about. And just look at how God's grace flowed down through Rahab. Flowed down through generations to even us here today. Though she was a Gentile, an Amorite, and a prostitute, she was immediately embraced and accepted as a full member of the nation. She later married a man named Salmon of the tribe of Benjamin. They had a son. Their son's name was Boaz, who also married an outsider, Ruth. Ruth and Boaz had a son named Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of King David. Even in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew's genealogy, he mentions this in verse 5 of chapter 1. Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. Do you see the story within the story of Rahab's life? I mean, the story of the spies, it had nothing to do with reconnaissance. It was about preserving the lineage of Jesus, who died and rose again, so that we today could experience the breadth, the length, the width, the depth of God's grace and mercy and love. What if, for just a moment, you believed the story, your story, is within God's story of salvation and mercy? Look, if we truly understand Rahab's story, then we see that there are these parallels between her story and our story. We're not automatically a part of God's family at birth, are we? or even in the scope of what God is doing. But he has made his great saving acts of history in history known to us. And then he brought us into contact with his messengers. He calls us to faith. Faith which through his grace we laid our lives and our past on the line and aside. And we're called no longer to identify with this world. And we're called to identify with God's people. You see, the bottom line is this. God's story of grace and salvation is still the story within our story. In fact, it's the best story. Let me ask you something this morning. Even if you don't know everything, what if you embraced what you do know? You see, we have a tendency to gravitate, to be pulled into what we don't know. Look, God is still embedding his narrative of grace and mercy and salvation into our lives today. Would you consider taking what you do know and embrace a step of faith towards this? Maybe you're like Rahab, and you've heard about God, and what you've heard has ignited something burning within your soul. Do you know what John writes in his first letter? He writes that the greatest expression of God's love is his invitation to call us his children. Listen how John writes. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. You see, with a simple act of faith, like Rahab, and confidence that God is who he says he is, this promise can be a reality for you today. If you'd like to do this, then pray with me this morning. Father, I may not know everything, but I do know you love me. Forgive me and cleanse me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to help me understand the depth of your love through Jesus Christ. And now, Heavenly Father, would you seal this within our hearts, allowing this, O God, this simple act of faith, not based on what we don't know, but based upon what we do know, be a foundation that we build the tomorrow and the weeks to come upon. All for your kingdom and your glory. Amen.
Grace is far sweet, the sound that sings.
And now would you receive this benediction? May the God who is continually writing the story of salvation and grace and mercy rest upon you today, tomorrow, and the days to come. Amen.